Blog Talk Radio.
Barghani, Islam, Salam, Atep, Jinolako Ninani, Chief Noble Bandele again, back on the airwaves as your host for another show. I know it's been a while since our last show, but I really think it's an important time. I know everybody's pretty much chilling on quarantine because of COVID. And a lot of things going on in the world, you know. But today's show is not going to be on the conspiracies or any of that. We're going to be talking today dealing with e-residencies or e-citizenship and basically how to use that for your liberation. And so we're going to get into that tonight, breaking that down. But before we get into that, you guys can follow me on IG as Morris Chief Noble. And I also want you to check out my partner and our brother, King L. Bay. He's got his own blog talk show as well. And that's on that's King L. Bay Show. And that's K-E-N-G L. Bay Show. Okay. So please check him out. Brother King is dropping a lot of the legal stuff that's going on, a lot of our legal issues that people have dealing with child support or, you know, trying to get their estate in order. So we do a lot of estate planning as well. And so he's got that blog where he goes into that a lot, okay? And, you know, I'll probably be a guest host on his show as well. But please check him out. He's got a lot of blogs already, so you can go back and check out the last blogs and also check out some of the old blogs that I've done on this podcast, okay? Also, check out Indigenous Services. It's at indigenousservices.webs.com, okay? And that's where you can see all of the – we've got, like, all of the legal stuff, all your law. If you need, like – to see statutes, codes, and whatnot, you can go in there and it'll take you to the particular channel you need to look at or whatnot. But it's got, you know, Moorish indigenous culture, our, you know, African indigenous, our indigenous American culture. You know, we got all that on there. So please go check that out as well. And please go check out my books. You can find my books at with under Bandele El Amin. And you can find them on Amazon.com. Okay. So, with all that being said, let's get into this. Okay. Now, what got me started on this is I was watching a video, and they were talking about, you know, different conspiracies or whatnot, this and that. But when they popped up, they start talking about an e-residency. And so they got to talking about a place, a country in, like, right there by Russia. So, okay, so it's not, you know, Eastern European country. You know, it used to be a Russian territory. And this country is called Estonia, okay? Now, I mean, Estonia is a very small country from what I've gathered. But about this country is that it's the first country to create a e-residency. Okay, so what am I meaning by this? An e-residency is basically, you know, when we talk about e, we're talking about an electronic residence, a digital residency. So this raises the question now, because we as Moors and indigenous people, particularly Moors, we're always discussing nationality, that we must put our nationality in order. Nationality is a reason why, you know, our status is looked at a certain way in society and all these things. And a lot of us is people coming into this knowledge of nationality. Well, now, this e-residency or this digital citizenship is important because looking at how Estonia, okay, because Estonia is the only country thus far that has done this. And basically what it does is, or what they're saying is that you can be a resident of Estonia as an e-resident from anywhere in the world. To me, that became a very promising thought. Because you have a country that is part of, also part of NATO and the in the EU, that will allow people from all around the world to become a resident of its E nation. So what it's basically done was it has created a digital nation. Maybe you should be saying, at this point. Okay, because if we're building as Moors and we're building as indigenous people and talking about our own nationality, our own this and that, it begins to make it, the brain starts to tick. It starts clicking. An e-residence. Now, why is this e-residence important? It allows, in this case with Estonia, it allows people from all around the world to become an e-resident and be able to do business in Estonia as a resident, okay? It allows you to have a bank account in Estonia, okay? It allows you to create a business in Estonia. Now that you, now that you're looking at this, let's put this into play. Okay, because you're looking at this digital identity that is now only in the cyber world. So I know you're like, well, what does that mean? Okay, so if you're able to do business in Estonia, meaning you're able to set up a business. And basically, it's located in Estonia. Okay. That means it's foreign to the United States or whatever country you come from. So how does that place you as far as taxes? How does that place you as far as how you're perceived to the United States? Well, you're going to be foreign to the United States, business-wise. Okay, now there is limits to the e-residency, which we'll get into in a minute, but what is basically this e-residence is creating a new form of citizenship for people. Okay. It has given them a new jurisdiction to work in. So, why can't, if Estonia has done this, why can't we do this? Why don't we create a digital person? Because it is going to be the way for the future. Estonia is probably, I'm going to say five, six years ahead, or maybe even more, a little more, but at least 5 to 8 years ahead of what's going on with what you're called more developed countries. Because Estonia, for some reason, after the fall of, after they broke from Russia, or the Soviet Union, I should say, after they broke from the Soviet Union sometime in '80s or whatnot, they formed, they wanted to go into a different direction, so they formed this alliance to learn about technology, and they became a very technological advanced country. They went from not having any computers, when the United States already had, most of the world was already on computers, they went from not having any into, like, within 10 years being ahead of everybody. So they gave them a network, and what they did was they set up a system that uses blockchains. Now, blockchain is what they use for cryptocurrency. And the reason why they use it is because it can't really be hacked into or anything of that nature. So it makes the security for whatever you're doing pretty Trump tight, pretty drum tight. And when they did that, they basically put all of everything on their network. Like you can go online and pay your bills. You can do your taxes and all that. So you're like, well, that's no different than what we're doing here, right? But it's not that. They all have a card. You get your nationality card, if you will. This nationality card has a chip on it. And I know people are like, oh, Lord, the chip. But follow me. This chip basically has your information on it. They have devices where you can put this chip and it can be connected to your computer, okay, through something like an e-chip reader, okay, and you put this e-chip reader and it can connect it to your computer and it will access the information. That's the only way that basically you can get on to the website that they have. That basically has everything on it. It's the only way you can get onto their system, I should say. Now, once you get on the system and it reads everything, it pretty much has the information it needs. And it just basically lets you confirm things. So it's much easier when you get your taxes done, it already has your information. All it does is shows you so that you can approve of it. They say it takes them about 3 minutes to do their taxes. So you can see there's a difference in the way how they have their efficiency and how everything is connected to this system that they have, this one big internet. I don't know what the word I'm trying to use, but like just basically they have their whole database. That's the word. Their database has everything on there so they can access everything they need to do. People don't even go to the bank anymore. Okay. Now, I can see this. I can see this coming in for the future, period, for the United States and all other countries, because everything is seeming to go that way. And even what's going on right now with the COVID is also playing a part in excelling the fact that we're going to be more independent on computers and the digital world. This digital citizenship is the more advanced version of your straw man. A straw man was straw man is the analog version of you, and this digital self will be your digitized, your updated new version of the straw man 2.0, if you will. Now, technology, like anything else, can be looked at as evil or can be looked at as good. It can be used as either. I think a lot of times that we look at the technology as bad. And I definitely agree with that sentiment in a lot of ways. We look at this kind of technology would be giving more power, or seem like giving up more of yourself to the computer system, and they're having access to more of your information. And this is true. And at the same time, in a few years, everybody's going to be on this page. So what would be the benefits for us? What would be the benefits of melanated people, Moors, of doing this? Because Moors, we are already, you know, claiming our nationality. What would it be? What would it be like for us to create a digital person? Because we own it and control that digital person. The jurisdiction of that digital self, that e-person, would be under the agreements, the terms and conditions of that database. So what do I mean? So let's give you an example of how, you know, the digital world or computers have changed the, you know, laws in a way, you know, or gives jurisdiction to them and takes you out of a certain jurisdiction. Okay, like, for example, Google. You got Google and Facebook. When you go to any of those, when you sign in or when you become, when you sign up for Google, it's going to ask you for permission to be able to see your pictures or access your phone book or, you know, have certain accessibility to some of your maybe financial statements, you know, i.e. bank accounts. You know, you do all that on Google. Once you do that, or, you know, Google or YouTube or whatnot, you're no longer under the Constitution. And before you go into, you know, all my sovereign brothers and my Moorish brothers, we talk about, well, we're not under the Constitution anyway. Well, I understand that there's been, you know, the Constitution and things are not what it was, and I understand that whole sentiment. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying in this particular point is that, like, for example, today, right now, if somebody tried to make you shut up, if you was out there talking about, if you were out in front of your house ranting and raving over, you know, speaking your mind about a particular gender, a race, or maybe your opinion on a religion or whatever, you have your right to do that. We always say that, regardless if we say the Constitution has been suspended or whatever, we still say, hey, I have the right to freedom of speech. We hear freedom of speech all the time, you know, on the news and on TV, and, you know, having that right of freedom of speech. Well, when you sign Google or, you know, Facebook, you have given up your freedom of speech, because now you have to follow the guidelines of Google, that community, you know, the Google community, as they'll call it, or the Facebook community. You have to follow by those rules. Many of us know that, because many of us have, you know, posted something on Facebook, and then they might, you know, they call it Facebook jail. You know, you might lose privileges for stating your opinion, which is freedom of speech. So you see, you lose your rights, or you exchange your rights or whatnot for other privileges when you sign on. Now, see, another thing is you don't realize that when you agree to A, B, and C on any of these things, that you are basically contracting. You're doing a contract with these entities. So we've all of us have contracted with Google, and most of us have contracted with Facebook. You know, making those agreements or contracts. So with that being said and known, how can it be used to benefit us? And how can it be used to shield our jurisdiction, give us jurisdiction, shield our person, our, you know, our flesh and blood human being of a person? How do we protect that with these things? And that's what this digital citizenship can provide. Now, I'm not saying, hey, let's go sign up for Estonia. Although, you know, please take and check out, you know, look up e-residency Estonia, E-S-T-O-N-I-A, Estonia, okay? Go look it up. You'll see. Boom, it's there. I mean, you know, people are doing it. It may be an option. You know, this is something to also think about on that side, too, is like, as like a lot of Moors and whatnot, we've set up foundations or, you know, trust or some kind of common law trust, some kind of foreign organization or entity. Now, you know, or you know, got a 9-8 number, if you know what a 9-8 number is from the IRS. Now, you know, if you get a 9-8 number, you've got to get a foreign address. You have to have a foreign business. You know, the business has to be outside the United States, okay? And that can be difficult sometimes for most of us. Now, if you are a member of Estonia as an e-resident, you can create a business in Estonia and have a bank account in Estonia and be considered as somewhat a partially a citizen of Estonia, okay, in the digital side. And you are not in that, for one, you're not in the jurisdiction of the U.S., but you, because you're not in the jurisdiction of the U.S., you can use that as your place of residence for your business, which now you can get a 9-8 number if you need a 9-8 number. And that's the thing, you know, would you need a 9-8 number if you got a business here? Well, you may need a 9-8 number in the United States because they're going to want to need to use something to identify you that's under their jurisdiction, if you will. But having a 9-8 number does put you under a certain non-taxable status with the United States. So, you know, that's one way of looking at Estonia or looking at, you know, setting up the e-citizenship with them. But bigger scale, it is imperative that we use this technology for ourselves. And this is why New Kemet is looking at this type of information and technology to basically give one more level of protection in this whole thing, the system, okay? So let's look at how we would do that and breaking down, like, what would be the purpose. See, you look at it as if we have a community, which will be digital, a digital community, and each member would agree to terms and conditions. It would prove their identity and be verified so that they would get a identification card that would be used for online services, pretty much digital world, and creating a platform where everybody can come for commercial purposes, get them a business and do it under the community. So let's say you got a business. Let's say you don't have an EIN number. You know, you don't have anything that you're using to do business with the state of wherever you live. You know, we're in the state of Ohio, so, you know, or state of Pennsylvania. You don't have you didn't go to the state, the Secretary of State, and get a business certificate to do business in the state. But let's say if the business that you have is solely on line with the community, it's under the community's database. Okay, so New Kemet has a database, and everybody who becomes a member has a digital membership that allows them to get on to this digital database and buy stuff. Okay, between them, whatever have, and if everybody has these businesses on there, or any participating businesses, they would have to take to agree to the terms of conditions for the community in their database. Okay, I hope you guys are following me on this. Okay, so when you do that in that way, it's going to protect you because you got an agreement, and the outside world really doesn't have the jurisdiction to say that you can't do that or not, because you've made a contract to the community to do business with them and not anybody else. So in a sense, it's almost like you're doing private business anyway, because you're only the only people who will be able to access this digital community is members who have the card that can access it. Okay. And so you can do business that way. Now, since we're talking about doing business, we're talking about commerce. How will we do commerce? How is it to be done? Now, the example of commerce today, the future of commerce is cryptocurrency. Okay, you know, the most famous cryptocurrency is Bitcoin. And you know, people thought they weren't going to be around, but they, you know, Bitcoin been around for almost a decade. I don't really want to say, if not more than a decade, at least a decade or more. But cryptocurrency, which uses that blockchain technology to secure the privacy of these particular so-called virtual coins, cryptocurrency is what's being used to kind of use as currency. It's going to be used to kind of override what you have to do for the government. Like, you know, in the real world, whatever, you know, in the United States, they're using the Federal Reserve notes. They call them, you know, the U.S., so-called U.S. dollar. If you're, you know, doing business in that particular realm, then you might use U.S. dollar. But if you are in your community, we would use our own cryptocurrency. Okay. Now, I'll give you an example, because we've been talking about Estonia anyway. Now, because Estonia, another, you know, thing about Estonia is that it's part of the EU and NATO. So that's something that they, you know, promote and say, you know, that's an advantage they have. You know, you can do business in Estonia and not have to worry about anything. Now, what I was going to say is, though, that there was Estonia had an issue with currency. They were trying to set up their own currency, their own digital for their digital virtual, the digital society for their e-citizenship. They wanted to set up money, currency. Well, because they're part of NATO or the EU said, well, we got euros, you know, you got to use those euros. And so they basically replied that they don't need to use euros with their digital society. He said the digital society is only online, so we're only using it for online, our digital society. We're not using it for, you know, physical stuff. We're not using it to replace you. It's only to be used for the digital world. And so because of that, they're able to set up a digital currency, a cryptocurrency. So with that being said, if you have a cryptocurrency that you're using, it does give you a lot of freedom to not have to be under a banking system, if you will. So you don't have to be under the IMF, or you don't have to be under the Federal Reserve. It basically kind of override that. And that would be, and if it's done, so we have a cryptocurrency in our digital community, and everybody signed on to use it only for that, once again, it becomes private. It becomes private. So private matters are not public and not to be, you know, put into that jurisdiction. It puts you in a private jurisdiction, okay, which allows you to do things without having to be necessarily tracked either. And that's another, advantage I think cryptocurrency has, is that it's not necessarily traceable by any kind of reserve, banking system. There's no trace on it, okay? So, you know, that's why I think the Feds and them, you know, definitely been fighting it, you know, fighting Bitcoin, cryptocurrency and this and that, because they feel like it's definitely a threat to that way. And it really is, because as the United States has just put into effect a cryptocurrency for the United States with that stimulus pact they came out with a week ago or so, with $2 trillion, okay, that had cryptocurrency in that. So it's important, you know, for us to look at the advantages of the crypto and the advantages that comes with being able to contract and use contract agreements, you know. And these are things like I said, Brother King L. Bay, he been, you know, dropping a lot of heavy jewels on how to, you know, ghost the system. And that's another term that we use that is basically to show how to kind of hide yourself from the overall government. So, you know, here, you know, we got the United States, and not to say, you know, anything against it, but, you know, looking at it from a political standpoint, like let's say even from a libertarian, you know, conservative, you know, thing about having, you know, government in your business has always been a thing, you know, not to have government in your business as less as possible, you know, not to have government affect business, you know, let the laissez-faire, you know, not being able to be independent and doing things from a private business side. That's what has always been for, like I said, conservative or, you know, Republican, libertarians, you know, those type of political sides. And so with that, the United States is, for us, you know, here, the United States is our, the land that, the biggest jurisdiction, the biggest power. They got the biggest power, per se. Now, for us, all we're really doing is just trying to privatize a lot of our life, that we, the things that we do on a day-to-day basis doesn't necessarily have to be in the jurisdiction of the United States. Create this network where everything is digitized in there, then that would eliminate, all you're doing is just eliminating the use of the bigger government. We're just eliminating the use of the United States for certain aspects. I mean, you know, from being taxed from the United States, you know, because that jurisdiction, we're not under that jurisdiction doing business. You know, our livelihood, like you say, let's say, like, one thing that's very important for most of us is to get or start our own business, okay? And then with that, we're creating our own money in our revenue. And that takes you out a lot of the jurisdiction right there, because now you now have to be employed. You now have to go under and sign no contracts, becoming an employee. You know, and being an employee is somewhat slavery. And you sign a lot of contracts. You sign on to their their business, you know, their corporation. You sign up, you work for General Motors. Now you got to go by their rules, you know, or whatever it is, Walmart, Amazon. You know, if you're working for any of these places, you're going to be have to go by their rules and regulations. Now, you know, starting your own business, you don't, you're under way less rules and regulations on how to do with business. You know, you do your business and put it strictly under the community that's digital only, then you privatize your business. And you're going to network with people that are members as well. So it'd be like, you know, people got Sam's Club or whatever. You can't shop at Sam's Club unless you got the card. You can't shop, you can't do business in there unless you got the card, unless you're a member. So because of that membership, it's going to help clear you from being under the same rules. It clears you from being under the same thing. That creating our own rule through contract will subvert our under the United States, which for us, we don't even have any rights. You know, we get shot in the street, shot dead in the street, and keep it pushing. You know, we look at second class citizens, we're under that 14th Amendment, yada, yada, yada. And because of that, we have very limited things that we can do being under the 14th Amendment with the, you know, 16th Amendment and the taxes and, you know, all these things that they do, you know, the income tax law and, you know, all these things that they do, the Patriot Act, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like if you notice, because of banking, you know, you got a different way of doing things now, because the Patriot Act say, hey, you got to give a social, or you got to do this and that because of the Patriot Act, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these things that can be circumvented, we did it in our own communities, okay? And the truth of the matter is, it's coming. Like, if you don't do it for yourself, then the United States or your big boy, your big brother government will do it for you. And if you want to use the technology, do you want to use the technology for good, or do you want to use it for your oppressor? Because in many cases, our oppressor is sometimes the government in which we have lived in. And the fact that putting your information and putting it into the United, like let's say the thing about the United States, they have what they have is that ID, the ID 2020, or not the ID 2020, but the national ID. Everybody's got to become compliant in the United States by this year. So all the states have to become compliant, and they have to put all the information in a database. They've got it where, you know, most people know. When you get your driver's license, you get either federal driver's license in a sense, or you can get your state driver's license. So with the United States, they're kind of behind. Like that's still not on the level of Estonia. You know, Estonia, everybody's got a chip in a thing, and everybody plugs, basically everybody got an internet. Everybody there got internet. You know, they look at the internet as something that the people should have. It's something that is a right. They look at internet as a right to have. So everybody has it, everybody has access to it, and basically everybody has computers. So because of that, they're able to do something a little different. And their technology allows them to have a chip on it. There's no chip on, the United States, not the United States, but the driver's license. There's really not a chip on there yet. Okay. And there's no chip, I think, on the, you know, for you to have a federal ID, you know, for you have federal clearance, you don't have to have a chip, but you'll be in the database. So they're a little bit behind, but that's coming. As you can see that they already got the national U.S. database. Everything else is coming. The future is here. It's really up to us to jump on this and put our resources together in order to create this digital society. Okay? That's what's needed, to have the digital society and to create our own world in this new era. Because, I mean, everything is digital. Everything is moving to that. And so with that being said, I wanted to touch on how the future is being shaped right now because of the COVID-19. Okay, COVID-19 is here. I'm not getting into any conspiracies or anything about the COVID. All I'm really going to say about that is that being that COVID is here, and although it's more contagious, if you will, it seems like they're using this to promote things that they've been wanting to put into play. Because no conspiracy, but COVID has created a fear. Okay, it's been labeled a pandemic. People are dying from COVID. Let's not get this, twisted. But it's been hyped up to a level of hysteria where people have become in fear and also have become distracted. But what it's done is, they shut down the world. Everybody's shut down. All these businesses have been shut down basically for the first time in history. Everything's been shut down like this. Well, now, I won't say in history, but I know in our generation, anybody that's, 40, 50 years old has never seen anything like this, ever. And this strain is caused on the economy is really breaking down the brick and mortar industry. You got to realize that the brick and mortar industry is already in this decline. People are not being very as profitable with having to have a physical building that they have to supply and maintain for customers to enjoy. That we know there's a decline. And with this COVID-19, what it's done is really a lot of the brick and mortars that are struggling are not going to be able to recover. And this is going to really put the nail in the coffin for, a few of these businesses. And what COVID-19 has done is made everybody have to go inside. And now people are on their devices more, and people are now looking toward buying things online. So, that was there's been a spike increase in, Amazon. And look at Amazon. Amazon is basically a digital store, and it is the largest the largest consumer store. It's the most profitable in the world, and it's virtual. So that, it shows you how virtual and digital societies are going to be the future. And so what I say with the COVID is it's got many, many things that it's brought. With the COVID-19 caused